These are the sounds of not seeing things clearly. This is the sound of trying to unlock the wrong car. This, the sound of brushing your teeth with anti-itch cream. Okay. This is what walking face first into a glass door sounds like. And this is the sound of getting an eye exam at America's Best.
Is one or two better? Three or four?
Where you get the care you need at a great value. America's Best. Every eye deserves better.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati podcast. I can't look at my screen. Episode 297. As always, over here is Mike Martin, joined by the Neil Breen of LA.
That's me, baby. Alex Nobody Fassione. Can understand me, but everybody watches me. and I don't know whether they're making fun of me or they like me. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing? It's just us today. No Jesse here.
Is this a first?
No, we did a you and me episode.
Oh, like episode
3.5.
Yeah, I was gonna say like episode 2 or 3 of the show, we did one.
Yeah. Usually we either do like a mini-sode compilation or we do like a guest. We grab it a guest to have on. But not this time. We said, you know what?
It's been so long. It's been so long since we've done a listener story episode.
Yeah.
And
which is crazy to me.
It's every time. We were like, well, we can't do a listener story already because like we just did one, and then we look and it's been like what, like 4 or 5 months or something.
Yeah, since like January or somewhere around there.
Yeah,
it's like it takes forever, but it makes sense. We've been tackling a lot more bigger series lately, and so what feels like not long to us is probably just because we've been doing like 3 weeks of Heaven's Gate or you know whatever the fucking series we're doing at the time is. So it doesn't feel as long,
right? And I mean, we got another big one.
We got multiple big ones coming. Multiple multi-parters.
Just ones that took a lot of work on my part and on Mathis's part coming up. So this is actually kind of nice to give us a little vacay. But Jesse's off doing what I believe to be like real Chilluminati, like IRL type Chilluminati shit.
From the pictures I saw, it looks like it.
Yeah. Was that in public or was that in private? I don't want to say what it is if it's like under NDA.
It was Blue Sky. I just don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is some... Where he is not a lake. It is an ocean. Let's put it that way.
Those who get that, it always feels good when you say something and I get the reference.
You're suddenly so cultured. Yeah,
I know. Wild. Do people feel like that all the time?
With me, no. In my experience, no. I'm just a crazy wizard who talks about the historian from Mad Max who like is just like a guy who read a lot
when they tattoos and no stories. Yeah,
that's me. It's pointless unless the world ends and I become like the gimp slave of Chris Hemsworth. But if I do,
well, you know, that's fair.
Yeah.
There is a very specific apocalypse in which my knowledge applies.
Vampire?
Or alien.
Oh, yeah. Both very serious.
I don't know which one's more likely at this point in time.
What do you want? Which one do you want more is the real question. Vampire apocalypse?
Vampires from Vampire the Masquerade.
As long as you get to be a vampire.
Yeah. Otherwise, like, I won't know, right? Like, that's the whole point. Right. But in reality, I just want to know aliens, dude. Bring on the aliens. At this point, it can't be worse than what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Right? Hey, guys, if you're out there and you're just waiting for a sign, let this be the sign. I know you guys all listen to the Chilluminati podcast up there in the saucers. This is the sign. Come on down. Help us out. Just give us a hand.
Co-host.
Use that wisdom to help me sleep at night. I need a little help.
What if we discover it's just a bunch of other, like the aliens are like the Greys, but they're only here to like do podcast episodes about Earth?
If they were, I would support them at patreon.com/alien podcast that we made up, because that's what you should do to us. Because basically, as I just explained, and Mathis kind of jumped on, we are aliens compared to you guys. You know what I mean? True. We're weird compared to you. And so now you're supporting aliens by supporting us, if you want to. Does that make sense?
I think so. Is that
good?
I'm gonna say it does.
Does that work?
I'm gonna go with yes and it and say
I don't usually. I usually have to talk like 10 to 15% less than this, so I never know if I'm too crazy or.
Oh, yeah, Jesse's usually yelling at us for something by this point already, or very upset with the pairing I've come up for the two of you.
Yeah, but you know what? I like being Neil Breen because I'm immune to
criticism.
Sense. Oh yeah, criticism. Oh, well, yeah.
Really
yeah.
For him. Have you seen interviews with him where he talks about like his work?
I've seen a few clips. Like it's weird because like it should seem weird to me how he is, but like maybe that does mean his work has some power because in watching his work, I feel like it gives me like it's like I don't even need to watch the interview. Like I understand Neil Breen the man intimately from watching his work.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, fair. I guess. It's just
don't you think he's exactly the guy that you expect to be making this shit?
Which did surprise me because like, you know, at least with the guy who made The Room, Tommy Wiseau, there is a level of like he came to a level of self-awareness where he tried to rebrand the movie as like a dark comedy or something.
So he like didn't resist.
Yeah. Well, where Neil Breen doesn't even seem aware.
No.
That's why people watch his movies.
Do you know who Bizarro is?
Yes.
From like Superman?
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Neil Breen is like a bizarro version of Christopher Lambert from Highlander. He's like, it's like, he's like as heightened and not, maybe not Highlander one when he learns, you get what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
When he has the, whatever it's called, the quickening, when all the,
yeah,
all the like some knowledge, gestalt knowledge of all the Highlanders and stuff goes in his brain and he's like awoken and saves the world.
Yep. What I want the aliens to do to me. Yeah,
Neil Breen is like the bizarro. He's like me and Superman version of that.
Is he just shooting out beams of anti-information that just
he just like imagines? He just imagines the like good end for humanity, and it's like him saving personally punching like dictators and like oil barons in the dick
and like, tying up people in like serial killer fashion.
CEOs, it's like about him. Amazing. It's like it's like he's the one. He's like Neil Breen is the guy.
Yeah.
Like not like his characters, but the guy.
And unlike reality where you and me, we're the ones today.
Yeah. But speaking of looking at somebody's work through a narrow lens and trying to interpret it to our own ends, shall we wade into
The reader stories world.
Episode 297, listener stories.
Yeah. There's quite a few ones from our Discord because I always forget that there's a share your stories part of the Discord.
So this is a Discord heavy one?
Well, yeah, at least half, I would say, probably.
And would you say that's a Patreon Discord?
It is a Patreon Discord.
How interesting.
Yeah, it's about, like 1,000 people or something in there? I don't know how many.
What an incredible cult to be a part of.
Yeah, go in there. Go join us. We all hang
and
out.
And we won't convince you to do anything bad to yourself.
Other than watch more episodes of the podcast.
Just give us $10 once. That, like, yeah, you know, yeah, every once in a while. Every once in a while, toss 10, 15, 20 bucks our way.
Yeah,
we'll stay out of your hair. You do whatever else you want. Too. Yeah.
You take this one away first, Alex. Why don't you start this?
This comes from Twiggy on the Discord.
Longtime community member.
Yeah. It's called Finland Spooks. Super longtime listener, joined the Discord because I recently remembered some things about my host family's apartment in Finland and wanted to share with people who might be interested. During my time with my second host family, and I guess this means that this person is a exchange student to Finland at one point in time. Which is crazy because
I never would have thought to like be an exchange student for.
I would spend.
Eat fish out there.
It's a pretty wild place. Like it's pretty like nature powery. Like you're gonna go out there and be a badass. I think is the vibe.
Oh, is that what would happen?
I love Finland.
I've never been there. Finland wilderness.
I don't know. I've never been there, but it sounds fantastic. But also, yeah, I used to date a girl who was an exchange student in America. Pretty crazy, thing to do in your life, be an exchange student. It's a huge part of your life, and you go and you spend it outside of your own culture. I visited her for like a month one time over Christmas break when I was like 16 or 17, and I swear to God, it like gave me my worldly understanding of culture. Like it put me in my place culturally as an American in a way that I don't think a lot of kids get a chance to. So that's pretty cool. Anyway,
agreed.
During my time with my second host family, I digress. During my time with my second host family, they stayed at a place that used to be an old bank, but was converted into apartment buildings. There was a big vault door that no longer worked, but was being used as a storage room. It was super heavy and they always kept it shut. Once I was walking out to get water and the vault door somehow opened on its own, despite being fully shut and too heavy for wind to push it. I wish I could say I stayed to watch what happened next, but I dipped back into my room and hid like another 15-year-old would. I had a lot of paranormal experiences there. I would see shadows through the glass of the bedroom doors. One time, I woke up to the noise of a disembodied voice screaming, although we could maybe chalk this up to sleep paralysis. I also feel like I was being watched when I was alone, so towards the end of my stay there, I always stayed out late and slept over at my best friend's house or my, at the time, boyfriend's house when my host family left for the night. Bonus story. When I came back from Finland, I lived in this historic building in Illinois. It was an old farmhouse, and I had the worst case of sleep paralysis there. I woke up to see a girl crab walking upside down towards my bed. When she got up close, she disappeared, and I could move again. Definitely not the type of girl you want in your bed.
I mean,
and that is Twiggy.
Look, don't judge another person's, like, you don't yuck another person's yum, you know? Maybe somebody likes to be crab walked up to in the middle of the night. That's someone's, like, desire out there. There's billions of humans out there. There's at least one out there who, like, that is their thing.
And going back to the haunting just for a second, like, it's a different feeling than the normal stuff, right? Like, obviously all of these things in like little individual chunks can be explained away as simple things, but when you've been somewhere that you, like, if you've had the experience, right, of being somewhere and being like totally freaked out by it, even though like you didn't see like a figure or something, you just, you know, you hear some sounds and some stuff moving. Yeah. And then you then later find out that that place has been reported as haunted by 7,000 people, right? Mm-hmm. It's a creepier feeling because you're like, I know that feeling of the creepiness. Like there's like this tone of creepiness that the whole place takes on and everything puts you on edge.
And your brain like spins in this like paranoid way.
Yeah, I don't know what that, I don't know what that is, but that to me is like the real thing that convinces people whether or not someplace is haunted. It's like, there's this feeling and then like normal things that are explainable start to like kind of like snowball and you're like, okay, there's fucking something going on, right? Dude,
I will never forget Indie PopCon a couple years ago where the hotel, everybody was having, I didn't have a single one, but including you, where it could have literally been like, you know, attributed to something normal, somebody trying to open your door handle or whatever.
Right. In the middle of the night, somebody came and like tried my door. Yeah. And I talked about this on the show when it happened too.
Yeah, exactly. But like, yeah, it's another weird thing. Or, you know, on a more tangential way, it's like the shit I sometimes see in the sky that I don't, it's like so many of them, my brain and I obviously want to attribute to something normal. When they start racking up and some of the weirder ones start sticking out, you start fucking wondering. So I don't talk about it on the fucking show because it's just not.
It starts to feel crazy. Yeah, you start to feel crazy. Yeah,
feel fucking crazy.
So much. So much about what we perceive is not correct. Like empirically correct. Like just so much of what our
my whole life.
Just what our instruments as body and our mind take in from the world around us is not often accurate. So it's kind of interesting.
All right, this is the next one. This was from a Discord user Celadon Cistern. The white light is real. My near-death experience and some possible biological explanations for perceptions and death. Hi, everyone. Long-time listener, first-time caller. On the Chilluminati host spectrum, I would say I'm more of an Alex, but I respect the Mathis is out there. I rarely
see an Alex. I like that.
Yeah. And I appreciate that as well. I think this story might appeal to Jesse in his attempt at a scientific explanation for the paranormal. Well, so sorry he's not here.
Jesse can't help you now.
I guess the story is more topical now since this took place at the exact location that the huge Los Angeles fire started this month. So this is, you know, a few months ago. Eaton Canyon, Pasadena. One summer in the early 2010s, I was hiking in Eaton Canyon. Locals may recognize this place as a popular hiking spot with a small stream that leads up to a waterfall.
It's beautiful.
Is it? We should go sometime.
We literally went like...
Oh, is that where we went?
No. We literally went there. Me and my wife like went there.
Oh.
Maybe like a couple years ago, like maybe like 1 or 2 years ago, not even.
Experienced hikers would know that you can hike, climb past the first waterfall to a further 4 or more waterfalls winding along the river path. Yeah, that does sound awesome. Yeah, I did this hike over a dozen times with my friends as rambunctious high school teenagers. And on one such day, I was coming back from a nice hike to the second waterfall with a friend. We were very close to the end and we came upon a razor's edge, a path of rock about 30 feet long, 3 feet wide, with nothing to the left or right.
A copy of Ninja Gaiden 3 specifically made for the Wii U.
A couple was walking up the path while my friend and I were coming down. I stepped aside to let them pass, taking a few confident steps forward. And my shoes slipped on the gravel. The upper canyon was known to be dangerous. There have been around 20 deaths, many more injured, mostly due to the deteriorating granite rock on the higher path.
Per day, that's per day, by the way. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, I was going to say, holy shit, bro. I was about to believe you, man. I can't tell new one.
Yeah,
that day, I became one of them. I slid down about 10 feet, clawing at the stones, tearing up my fingertips, then fell 40 feet off of a sheer cliff. This time seemed to stretch. It was oddly peaceful.
Christ.
Yeah, man, that's 40 crazy.
Feet is a lot.
That's a big fucking fall.
That's like a house. Like that's like a big house.
Yeah. That's like an
office building. Yeah.
So how many stories is 40 feet, do you think?
Like one floor of a house is like probably like 12 to 15 feet.
Okay, so like three-ish stories or so probably then. Little.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 to 3, somewhere in between there.
Yeah, and even then, like that's pretty. That's like, if it's an apartment, it's smaller than that. That's just so high. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
That's leg breaker. That's death. That could be death.
Yeah. No shit. Depending on how you lay it, time seemed to stretch. It was oddly peaceful, seeing the treetops sway in the wind. Then very quickly, the ground came up to meet me. See, when you dive into a body of water, the fluid moves around you to gently bring you to a stop. But when you dive into rock, you become the fluid.
Yeah.
I broke both my wrists, my knee, my ankle, God. Shattered the front of my skull.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's rough. It was this latter injury that preceded my experience, which knocked at the door of the paranormal. What a sentence. Beautifully written. Maybe I'll have you write my scripts moving forward so I don't have to do it anymore. Many people report seeing a bright white light, then dying, hearing voices, speaking to loved ones, witnessing the heavens, etc. My experience was similar but different. As I hit the ground, the light was an instant searing white. There was nothing but white, no visual registry at all, simply just a burning whiteness beyond the likes of even staring directly into the sun. It enveloped my whole vision, and I thought that was it for me.
That's crazy.
When I read about near-death experiences, I always wonder the moment, like, everybody seems to have that moment where they're like, oh shit, I think I'm dead. And then the moment of like, wait, if I'm dead, how am I thinking I'm dead?
Yeah.
Which is fascinating. I felt myself worrying that this was the end. It would just be me alone, consumed in this ocean of white light forever. Fortunately, after what felt like maybe a full minute, it began to fade. Slowly, the light's periphery took on a bright neon green hue, which consumed the whiteness moving inward. Gradually, my vision finally returned in a delirious double vision. It was this greenness that stuck out to me, and I think many people experience a tiny facet of it in their everyday lives. Phosphenes. A phosphene is a phenomenon of seeing light without light actually entering the eye. You'll notice this when you rub your eyes or scrunch your eyelids tightly together. You might notice little green or white visual distortions.
Definitely.
Yeah, to me, phosphenes feel like an extremely tiny version of white light. I wasn't able to find any really conclusive literature on the subject, which, side note, I found myself in the near-death experience rabbit hole due to something else I've been working on in the background. And that seems to be the most frustrating thing, is a lot of the scientific studies on near-death experiences are very, very, very difficult to do because they always happen after the fact. And right. So you're getting a subjective experience, and they don't have like wires.
They don't know
they're
going to have a near-death experience.
Exactly. Yeah. So, really, there's not really any conclusive literature on the subject, maybe because neurocell tissue biology of near-death experience are difficult to study. Exactly. Phosphenes are very common visual distortions, but may be understudied medically, while phytopsia, that makes so much
phytopsia?
Better. Phytopsia is another light perception phenomenon associated with migraines. Oh, yeah. My brother and my dad suffer from migraines, and they see this all the time with flashing white lights. They know.
Oh, yes. Those.
Yeah, they'll know a migraine's coming before it happens because they'll get white flashes in their eyes and
my
their vision.
Sister,
shit.
Similar.
Yeah, exactly. Phosphine is very common to understand medically. Meanwhile, some studies on cardiac near-death experiences describe more of a traditional tunnel followed by a slow enveloping of light. It is possible this tunnel experience is brought on by something more neurological or related to the slow depletion of oxygen versus the sudden impact I had. Something else to mention was the sound. Upon hitting the ground, I heard by far the loudest thing I have ever experienced. At that moment of impact, accompanying the white light, all I could hear was this intense, blaring, unwavering sound, like hundreds of bells tolling at once at the exact same moment, but with their sound stretching on indefinitely, like one harmonious tone going on forever.
Harmonious. Interesting.
Yeah. It sounds almost like tinnitus a bit. It felt unending, but slowly its frequencies began to die down until all that was left was a quiet ringing, then the sounds of birds and rustling leaves as my senses returned. Often in the movies, when a bomb goes off, all sound is gone except of a ringing in the ears. This is called tinnitus. Sound is perceived by tiny hair-like cells in the inner ear. These cells are tuned to perceive different frequencies. These ear cells can die, often caused by a loud noise or injury. However, due to the way sound is transmitted into the brain, when one of these ear cells dies, rather than losing the perception of the sound, you instead just hear that sound all the time as a ringing. This ringing is usually at a narrow frequency range, depending on the type of cell that was injured. What I heard was as if all of those cells all at once suddenly screamed out in blaring unison. There are often accompanying reports of sounds with near-death experiences. For example, the sound of voices, a chorus, singing. Recalling what I felt, I could easily interpret as sounding like a chorus. There was something almost strangely voice-like to the bell tolls harmonizing.
Super tinnitus?
The worst X-Men power. And it felt like there were thousands. Though instead of loved ones or angels, I believe it was the sound of short-circuiting ear cells as my skull smashed against the rock. To be clear, this is not my area of expertise. I study pharma, not cell death. What I have discussed here are anecdotal explanations at best. There are whole fields on the biology and chemistry of death, which I won't get into, not to mention endogenous DMT, machine elves, etc. Dude, yeah, that shit
That is so about. Fucking fascinating to me. And
machine elves and shit and DMT, yeah. It's weird what people
what
see.
What the hell is it?
Sometimes, like, people see the same things over the course of, like different really, cultures and
really years. Really specific things.
These things are like super playful. Yeah, that's a whole separate rabbit hole. Exactly. Not what, like, I've said that I will always say publicly, happily, once before I'm dead, I would like to do DMT. That's it. I feel like
that's not that crazy of a
right.
Of
that's
a
I feel like that's a fair thing.
I know plenty of people who've just like do it from time to time.
I can't imagine doing it once and having experience like I've read and been like, bro, I can't wait to go back. That feels life-changing, even if it's all in your fucking head.
I told you about the Uber driver who like went and did it. Was I can't remember if she did like DMT or if she did ayahuasca, but she did like something really powerful, and then she came back and she was like, I adopted a child 2 days ago.
Yes, like, yes, yes, I do.
I You're like oh my god,
yeah. Maybe not what the, you know, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want any kids. Anyway, still, I am convinced that what I perceived might hold small pieces of truth toward the perceptions in death and dying. Sorry this has gotten very long, so I will wrap up. I was found on the hiking trail, a rescue helicopter was called, and I was airlifted out to a local hospital. After many surgeries, I was put back together with several metal screws and plates. I made a full recovery with no complications. Awesome. I'm so happy to hear that.
Crazy.
Just a couple scars. That's awesome.
Human body is amazing.
Yeah. Isn't it? Like, with the things the body can survive is nuts. I am extremely thankful. The hiking paths to the waterfalls were eventually walled off due to so many people falling, dying, or injuring themselves. And then very recently, a combination of dry air, dead vegetation, and high winds resulted in one of the most damaging fires in LA history. Is Eaton Canyon a flap? A hidden portal of fire and death? Who knows? Probably not. But I found it uncanny that the place where so many have been injured or killed is also where this natural disaster tore out of. Love the show and look forward to the future episodes. Feel free to use this. Happy to answer any questions. Thanks for reading. TLDR, dumb guy falls off cliff, hits ground, nearly dies, sees white light, hears chorus of giant bells. Yeah, I'm so glad you lived, by the way. Like, and it is fascinating because I wonder, like, you got lifted. I'm assuming you didn't like flatline, luckily, because like that would be fucking horrifying. But it is interesting because, like, yeah, the phosphine thing is something I've read up about plenty of times. And like, you know, as somebody who, no matter what, when he closes his eyes, he sees chaos and like of colors. And with open eyes, I see visual static at like almost like a transparent snow. So like, but I thought it was phosphines for a while, and phosphines are like, if you take your hands right now, close your eyes, and then mash your hands into your eyes, what you see is phosphines, because your Yourself being like, you're just like, oh, okay, you see things. Yeah. And maybe that's what it is. Like, it's very possible. I've read a lot of near-death experience studies of what, like, they try to explain, like, what happened or what, like, why certain things happen. And it's like you said, even in your story, it's really impossible kind of to study this shit with any regularity because, you know, people dying is not something people are, like, ready to get hooked up to study about.
I also want to say, like, kudos for doing such a, like, unremarkable job of describing it, if you know what I mean. Like, I mean that as a compliment in the sense that, like...
Oh, the writing was impeccable.
Nice. Well, I just mean you took no attempt to, like, draw conclusions from what you experienced or make it special in any way, and were very willing to assume that that's what happens to everybody who falls 40 feet off a cliff.
Right.
And giving it to us in a very sensorly and, like, pragmatic way. I really liked that, so...
Yeah, it was super well written. I'm glad you're okay. Like I said, like that shit is, I can't imagine. The other, in the Discord, there were a bunch of replies, to a few other people who had a few near death experiences, and they all say very similar things in that, like the going from panic to sudden calm was one of the things that people remember, like, so vividly because how so weird it is. And it's because the body,
like, literally, drugs you up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, boop, time to shut down because it's better. It's to put you in a state of almost stasis is going to improve your odds of survival. But it's, I can't imagine. Like, that must be such a strange feeling of, like, panic. I'm okay, actually.
Shutting down.
Yeah.
Kind of good news, though. Kind of relief.
Right. Me, yeah. I hear that. I'm like, yeah, thank God. All right.
As you know, if I have a violent injury. This next one comes from Annotate My Faith on Discord. A pretty hardcore Discord name. Is that an invitation to fellow Discordees to annotate your faith? That's hardcore.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to let the public do that.
Yeah, this one's called The Vengeful Spirit. I have a fun story that is not my own, but my mother's. So in the 80s, my mom and her friends lived in a 15-bedroom abandoned hunting lodge in a small town near Yosemite.
It's Until Dawn, immediately.
Yeah, literally 15 bedrooms. She lived there for 2 years. The first year of her living there was with her friends, and they would throw parties often. They didn't have normal running water. Excuse me. Ugh. And one of the neighbors would randomly clog up the stream nearby, so they'd have 100-plus people over with no running water, but that's a story for another time, lol. That neighbor gave my mother hell, but he's dead now. The second year, my mom was the only one... insane. fuck that guy. Yeah. The second year, my mom was the only one living in this abandoned hunting lodge. What? However, the owner had a groundskeeper who lived on site, but he had his own little house off to the side, so he wasn't in the mansion. The part of the story that makes this interesting that I haven't mentioned is this place was also haunted. I don't know when, but at some point in this house's history, it became a tuberculosis ward and tons of people died there. So my mom was living in a 15-bedroom haunted house alone.
I wonder, it kind of makes sense in the time, if what I'm thinking, like, it probably the 1800s, because what was the common, like, cure for fucking tuberculosis? Go breathe in mountain air. Go breathe in natural air.
So and go hang out with a bunch of other people with tuberculosis.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Reason.
Yeah. She would hear the ghosts walking around on the second floor, possibly just rats if you're a skeptic. But my family tends to believe in the paranormal. My mom's friends all have tons of crazy stories about this place, but another thing to keep in mind is they were all on drugs most of the time.
Your family sounds awesome.
This is an incredible story. Yeah. Happened. Everybody there was high, and for one entire year, it was just somebody living in a mansion, in a haunted mansion by themselves. I swear.
Utterly fucking blasted. Fucking hell yes.
I feel it is important to share that my mom felt incredibly safe in this house, like the spirits were taking care of her, since she always spoke to them and acknowledged their existence. Nonetheless, some odd experiences that unfortunately I do not have all the details of occurred, maybe, but that is not the main part of this story. My mom had no money, so she was living with no electricity and still no real running water. She told me stories about how she'd paint Rush lyrics all over the walls and how much she loved it there. I want to hang out with your mom. Yeah,
that's fucking awesome.
How cold the winters were, how she would hitchhike all over town, and how much she hated her neighbor.
God, I love your mom. I'm going to be her a new husband.
This one... One day, the groundskeeper came to her and told her she needed to leave since the house was being sold. She grabbed her stuff. It wasn't much. And she got out of town. She was on her way back home to L.A. when she somehow learned about what I will share next.
Mom was a squatter. Hell yes.
The people who bought the house turned on the gas and the whole place blew up. Everyone except for the groundskeeper died. My mom and all her friends stand by the fact that the ghosts were pissed off that she was kicked out. She took care of the house, after all. The bitchy neighbor had put three massive boulders on the driveway to the house, so the fire department couldn't come to put out the fire. And oh, we went God. There a few years ago, and the bitchy neighbor's son ended up buying the property and built a much smaller house on the site. We were given permission to walk around, and there are still remains of the house that my mom lived in. She has the burnt up and charred doorknob still, which she took when she heard the news and went back. Whether you believe the ghosts were upset about her leaving and wanted revenge, or that it was simply a tragic accident with no other factors at play, I hope you enjoyed this story, and my mom has given me permission to share and extends that permission for this to be read on the podcast. Thanks for reading, and may everyone in this story rest in peace. My mom took some pictures when she went back. There's some here from Discord that you can actually go check, but they seem to be not available anymore. Is that right?
Because it's a document. How do you open this shit? Control click to follow. Yeah, just control left click on the link.
Control left click. Okay. Oh, yeah, there it goes. No, it's just not opening the link.
Oh, huh, weird. I can send
it's
this.
It's opening the link and saying it's not, the content is not there anymore.
Well, I will got you even better. Good old Gyatso will come through.
Yeah.
Sponsor us, please.
Dude, what is Gyatso? Where are you guys? Are you guys like a two-person office in San Francisco? Like, what's the zone? Do you guys have some money, some investor money that you want to put towards PR?
Doesn't got to be a lot. I use you either way regularly.
Good. I would love it. Okay, Gyatso, let's see what we got.
There's one. There's another. This is of the house exploded.
If you're
on Discord, you can literally just go scroll up and see it yourself.
Yeah, these are amazing. These look like they're from a movie or a David
Lynch.
They do,
right? Like really well done. Like,
yeah, shot. Beautiful. Like, beautiful this, pictures also.
Here's
yeah,
this
like
last one here.
Well-composed images.
This one's awesome, too. Like looks right out of, like, a still shot of a movie or something.
So this one has a car in it, which leads me to believe that there was a car on the premises that exploded in the explosion.
Yeah, like, look at it. You can see it. The windows are blown out. The tires are gone, melted, destroyed. I don't know what the fuck. But you can see it's, like, all fucked up.
That is so crazy. Are we going to toss these in the show notes? Because these are fantastic. Them. Yeah, you guys should check these out.
I'll keep them in the show notes, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's fantastic, too. I agree.
Haunting. Black and white images.
I just walked away that I like your mom a lot.
That's yeah. All. She seems like a legend, like a wizard.
Yeah. All right, here we go. The next one is the cuckoo clock from, uh-oh, this one's from Reddit, jhuth1892. Hey everyone, longtime fan of the show. I feel like I may have posted the story years ago during the pandemic, but I can't remember and don't have access to my old account anymore for whatever reason. So here goes. To start, I should say that I'm more of an Alex. Look at two what Alexes in a single episode today.
Is it my day? Is my fortune starting to turn?
Yeah, as our audience expands, you know, more of Alexes start showing up.
So too has their minds.
Ooh. I'm pretty chill about everything in the paranormal realm. I've seen some things in my life I can't explain, but I'm not sure that I'm a hardline believer in some of the more insane stuff out there. Although it would be cool if it was real. As long as the theories aren't hurting anyone. Yeah, agreed. Until they get inevitably racist, they're fine.
Inevitably racist or like, just don't take medicine. Just die.
Yeah.
Spread the disease. Die.
Actually, just go outside. There's a red berry you're looking for. Grab that. Mix it with some lemonade. Minute Maid specifically. Drink it and just go to sleep for a week. You'll be fine.
Oh, my God.
So around 10 years ago, my family moved to Florida to be closer to my grandfather who was sick. He was terminal and he knew that eventually his time would come. My mom would routinely go to my grandparents' house to help them organize stuff and get their affairs in order. My grandpa was also very practical, kept saying, when I go, don't keep anything. It's just stuff. And we agreed. Over the next year and a half, he seemed like he was doing well through treatments, but he took a turn for the worse. My uncle flew down to be there when he passed. One night, I was sound asleep, but around 3 a.m, I shot awake, unable to breathe. I sat up gasping for breath and gripped my chest, and after a minute, I was able to calm myself and I eventually went back to sleep. The next morning, I got up to find my mom sitting at the kitchen table alone. I said good morning and went to get some breakfast, and she looked rattled and told me that my grandpa had passed in that night. She said she had woken up, not able to breathe, about 2 minutes before her phone rang, and when I asked what time it was, she said it was around 3 a.m. I was stunned. I told her what had happened to me, and she was shocked and silent. A few minutes later, my uncle, who was staying with us, came back from getting coffee, complaining that he had woken up in the middle of the night. My mom had asked him what time, and he also said around 3 a.m.
Did he have a heart attack?
Yeah, I'm curious. Well, this is, it was terminal, so it probably was taken from whatever the sickness was.
Well, usually if you have, if you have a terminal disease, it's like something that kills you that just your body is,
Yeah, maybe, hang on, let's see what it says. Maybe I'm just jumping the gun here. It felt too weird to be a coincidence, and the next day, my mom was sitting in the living room wiping dust off of a cuckoo clock, and I asked where she got it. My grandpa had gotten it when he was in the military and stationed in Europe. When he came home, he brought his handcrafted cuckoo clock for the house. It was very high quality, and my mom always loved it. She said she knew he wanted her to get rid of everything, but she couldn't bring herself to give her the clock. She took it into her closet and stored it on a deep shelf, very securely behind a couple of heavy items, so she could figure out what to do with it later. Exactly, Smitty, dude. And that's what happened next. Not only 10 minutes later, while we were having dinner, we hear a loud crash. We all rush in and find the clock shattered on the floor. Not broken and repairable, shattered into hundreds of pieces. My mom stared at the pile and said, "Well, I guess that makes my decision for me," and starts laughing. That's the best reaction to have to that. Just like, yeah, fuck. I would take it the same way. Like, well, what the fuck?
My especially after he said that. You know what I mean?
Don't keep anything. Yeah. My grandpa was a very kind, caring man, but hated sentimentality. We just figured the situation was him saying bye on the way out, then telling my mom not to keep anything after he was gone. Love the show. Keep it up.
Heartwarming story. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's because it is a pile of coincidences, right? It was just you who woke up at 3 a.m. gasping for breath. I've had that happen to me. I sleep apnea. Like, right, you know,
of course you
struggle. But then your mom and your uncle and people just start waking up.
All on the
up.
Same night at the same time that grandpa goes out.
It's a little fucking weird.
That's what I'm saying about the tone. Like there's like a feeling when it convinces everyone.
Yeah. It's strange. I don't want a tangent here, but it's just you and me. So, you know, I'm going to tangent a little bit.
We got time, man.
I went back. My mom got into a really bad car accident not too long ago. I was back home for a little bit visiting, and we were just sitting and chatting and talking about stuff. And we were talking about my grandmother who passed when I was 8. But I very vividly remember a lot about my grandmother from back then. And, you know, my mom was 28 at the time. So losing her mom at that time was devastating. And there was a lot of weird things that happened immediately following my grandmother's death. There was, and I remember this pretty vividly. My mom and my dad were doing dishes in the kitchen, and my mom just kind of stopped and like grabbed my dad's arm and just said to him, "Do you smell that?" And he nodded and he said, "Yeah, I smell roses," which were my grandmother's favorite flower for everything. She always had roses everywhere. We didn't have any in the house at the time, but my mom nodded and she goes, "Yeah, I can smell it too." And that was it for that moment. And then my grandfather, not short, just long after, while he was in bed, saw my grandmother walk down the hallway, walked into his bedroom, looked at him, turned, and then left and walked down the stairs. And he got up and went after her, and she was not there. The only other weird things that happened is my mom, she would have dream about my grandmother every single night for just like conversations and whatnot.
How long?
Oh, God. I would say probably a year, but I'll get the exact amount of time next time.
So seriously intimate.
Oh, they were very close. Very, very close. But she says she'll never forget the last dream she had of her because they were sitting on the bed, just at the end of the bed, talking to each other. And my grandmother said to her, "You're going to be okay. You're strong and you can get through this. You don't need me anymore."
Wow.
Literally, apparently, like, burst into a bright white light and disappeared. My mom woke up and she has never dreamed about her since.
Straight out of the movie Casper right there. That's crazy. Right?
Yeah. It's crazy. So it's like those little, but it's like, it could just be dreams or subconscious.
Yeah.
Just being like,
and okay, does it matter if it is or it isn't?
Right. Really? Right. But it's still fucking weird. Or, you know, pile it up with all the other little things my family experienced. And it's just strange.
Okay. This one is from Reddit user Urilla, and it's called, The Banshee That Haunted My Grandfather.
Yeah.
Feel free to use this on the pod, assuming my writing isn't too terrible. I thought I'd share something that might be of interest to the boys / this sub. Back when I was younger, my grandfather, on my dad's side, owned a potato farm in Georgia. We lived a few states away, but every summer we would drive out and spend at least a week or two visiting my grandparents. For some context, my grandfather was a real true grit, no-nonsense kind of guy. Served in the military when he was younger, worked on farms for most of his life after that until he bought his own. was religious but didn't go to church because he thought preachers were too corrupt and not helping the community enough, etc. Which is to say, the kind of guy who didn't seem like he would believe in ghosts. He was a very down-to-earth guy, only concerned with the here and now. And yet, one night when I was probably about 10 or 11, we were having a large family gather at his house. My parents and all my father's siblings and their kids and some extended family.
Shout out being 10, I'd say best age to be.
Hell yeah. Yeah, 1998, I have very fond memories of that year.
And it's Ocarina also like,
time too.
You're just old enough to be like somewhat conscious in making decisions, but also young enough where the world's problems still don't fucking matter.
Big time. And like also like when you're 10, I feel like you're like a little bit less sure what's real.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's a great way to set to put it. I think I know it's exactly
like,
what you mean.
Yeah. You're like,
once
like,
you get teenagers and then like puberty starts, the world starts like,
you start to know for place. Sure. You start to know for sure what's happening.
Yep.
For the most part, most of the time. But when you're 10, you're like a lot of 10 year olds are like, Santa?
Yeah.
Like, what is the deal with that? You know,
listen, if you're a 10 year old listening to the show, please step away for a second.
Yeah.
When did you stop believing in Santa?
My mom is like, it's all fake. Have fun. Like,
right, from the very beginning?
Yeah. My mom doesn't.
Really?
It was like one of those situations where like my mom wouldn't go to church kind of thing, you know? Like,
Yeah.
No negativity around it at all. If anything, my mom made Easter the funnest holiday ever by making me Easter bunny hunts and like create. It's probably why I'm on this show today is because she like basically made me ARGs to solve.
That's awesome.
On Easter, but it's just
so good.
But she never once. She was very much about educating me, and giving me information.
That. Yeah, I respect that. I can respect it.
Yeah. Okay. So 10 years old. It was getting later. Okay. It was getting later into the night. The adults had had a few drinks by that point. Nothing excessive, but enough that they were talking pretty freely. My mother, who absolutely is a true believer and was in a ghost hunting group at one point.
Awesome.
Yeah. I've always wanted to do that.
Everybody's moms are so cool.
I know. I just want to
date everybody's mom.
My mom's cool though. I like my
Your
mom.
Your mom is cool.
Yeah.
I've met your mom. She's very nice and cool. The fact that she had a fucking cool ass meditation experience. I think about that still.
She's probably listening to this show right now.
In the astral realm.
Yeah, no, she's probably she's probably astral projecting to the recording of the show and listening to
Fuck.
Yeah.
Hi.
It was getting later into the night. The adults had a few drinks by that point. Nothing excessive, but enough that they were talking pretty freely. And my mother, who was absolutely a true believer, was in a ghost hunting group at one point, started asking my grandfather to tell the story about the woman in the red dress again. Now, my grandfather was generally a relaxed guy, but after two or three times of her asking, he was clearly getting agitated, not knowing any better, though me and my cousins asked him to tell the story. He refused again, but this time one of my uncles finally pipped up, which I've never heard that phrase before.
No, that's great.
But I'm going to go with piped up.
And also, I'm going to go ahead and say, A24, if you're listening, Woman in the Red Dress, next movie. Just go ahead and grab that title. It's out. It's next.
Hey, if you're Mouse from the Matrix, next program.
Oh, fuck,
check it out.
Yeah.
Look, he don't like to talk about it, but he sees this woman in red occasionally who tells him when someone is going to die.
Fuck that shit. Dude, I hate the woman in red. What a movie idea, though. Yeah. A24 is like, write that down.
It's like a hot banshee. he don't like to, it's like Elle Fanning as a banshee, or Saoirse Ronan, maybe. He don't like to talk about it, though, so move on. Not satisfied with that answer, my cousins and I started hounding the adults for answers, and finally, my grandfather spoke up very reluctantly. He told us that it started when he was younger. He'd had a hard childhood. He was the middle child with an older and younger brother, and while not abusive, his father was unfortunately a terrible drunk, and his family spent most of their life in poverty. Right up until one day when he was a teenager, he was sitting out in the yard when he saw a woman in a red dress from what he thought was the Civil War period, if not older, walking up their driveway. She looked at him for a moment, then went into the house. A few minutes later, he hears yelling from inside and runs in. He thought it was related to the woman that had just walked in, but instead, it turns out his father had had a heart attack and dropped dead on the spot. Once things had settled down, he asked his mother about the woman in red, but she said she hadn't seen anything, and assumed he was just overwhelmed by his father dying and eventually managed to brush it off. Then, again, a few years later, he's in the military sitting on the porch of his house when the phone starts to ring. His wife goes inside to answer it, and as she does, he sees the woman from all those years ago again. He stood and asked her who she was, but he never got an answer. His wife started yelling for him to come inside, and he turned his head for a moment, and when he looked back, the woman was gone.
This is a movie. This is an actual low-budget horror movie. Literally
an episode of The Night Gallery. Yeah.
You make this for $1 million on one farmhouse.
The call, it turned out, was from the older brother's wife. His older brother's wife. His brother had... The call, it turned out, was from his older brother's wife. His brother had just died also of a heart attack like his father.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Another incident a few years later when his uncle died. You think she gave
him some more like leeway to say goodbye?
I don't know what her goal is. Is she the Grim Reaper?
Like, why, if she is, why is she going to the one that's not dying?
Maybe she just flew through the phone, popped out.
I don't know.
Another incident a few years later when his uncle died. This time, the woman had walked into his living room, looked at him, and then just vanished.
Nope.
Finally, the last one he would tell us about was a few years before. He had been sitting on his porch again in his rocking chair. He closed his eyes for a second, and when he opened them, the woman was a few feet away in her red dress, staring at him. He said he was filled with the strangest sense of both dread and acceptance, and after a second of staring at her, he just shook his head and felt an intense need to check on his younger brother. He walked inside, picked up the phone, called his younger brother's house. His oldest daughter answered, and my grandfather told her to go get her mom and to find his brother. Sure enough, he'd went out earlier in the day to the store, and no one had seen him since. They assumed he had stopped to do some fishing on the way home and lost track of time. Not anything too unusual that far out in the sticks. The truth was, though, he had a flat tire, and while walking back into town to get a tow, he was hit by a truck and killed on the spot.
Goddamn.
After telling us about his youngest brother, it was clear he was uncomfortable and said, that's all we're getting out of him, and not to bring it up again. After a bit of back and forth, my mother did drop it, and for the most part, outside of the occasional family gathering where everyone had a bit too much, the subject wasn't discussed again at all. My mother has always been convinced that despite the fact that the woman had always been silent, this was some sort of banshee that had attached itself to my grandfather through his dad. His father was an Irish immigrant, or some Native American spirit that had come from his mother. She had been born on a reservation and ran away when she was a teen, that she was less familiar with. Either way, after my grandfather passed away a few years ago, no one in the family had seen it since. I'm not sure what I personally believe about it. I'm more on the believing in aliens than ghosts on the paranormal scale. On the one hand, I have a real image in my head of my grandfather as a no-nonsense man who didn't believe in the paranormal, and outside of that, I don't ever remember him ever expressing any belief or interest in it, and it was always clear that the subject made him extremely uncomfortable. Perhaps it was just some weird way of coping with the deaths of those close to him, or maybe he really was seeing something. Either way, I just hope I never see her. I think a woman in a red dress appearing and vanishing would start to make me paranoid.
Yeah, no shit. Me too.
Yeah.
It's tragic that your grandfather lost his whole, you know, all the siblings in the way that he did. It's crazy. My mind, it's just a film that plays out over the course of this man's entire life where he only sees her every... like couple decades or so, and it's this weird relationship. He maybe learns a little bit more about her every time, and just at the end of his life he like learns that she's somebody he knows or whatever, she's a metaphor for something, and then he goes in peace on the rocking chair on his front porch.
I'm trying to see if there's any sort of like death,
like woman in red, like representation of death.
And really, like, the banshee is really the one. Like, according to Wikipedia, right, Gaelic lore involves a female spirit known as Banshee, who heralds the death of a person by shrieking or keening. The Banshee is often described as wearing red or green, usually with long, disheveled hair. She can appear in a variety of forms, typically that of an ugly, frightful hag, but in some stories she chooses to appear young and beautiful. Some tales recount that the creature was actually a ghost, often of a specific murdered woman or a mother who died in childbirth, and when several banshees appeared at once, it was said to indicate the death of someone great or holy. In Ireland and parts of Scotland, a traditional part of mourning is the keening woman who wails a lament in Irish, which I'm not going to try and pronounce because I know that I just don't know how to pronounce it. In Scottish folklore, there was a belief that a black, dark green, or white dog known as Susith, took dying souls to the afterlife. Comparable figures exist in Irish and Welsh stories. So it's something like that, right? It's like it's some kind of herald, which is kind of a
It's weird.
Interesting kind of spin from. On the average ghost tale.
I just wish Google AI wasn't jammed into Google search, because all it tells me is like, in various folklore cultural contexts, a lady in red or a woman wearing red is often associated with death, particularly violent or tragic.
Like a jilted lover, like a seductress.
I'm looking for specific references on that. I don't see any.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I don't really know what that traces back to, but I know it innately as like a literary image.
Yeah. That's still wild, because I don't know. That's like, that
maybe it's just
the crap
like film
out of me,
noir, man. Or something like that. I don't know.
And yelling like, who are you or whatever, and it just ignoring you and being like, no, bye.
It's interesting that it didn't scream, though.
Right, yeah, because that's right, because in the wiki it was saying that they typically have a wail, hence banshees are known for wailing and shrieking.
If I was writing a short story, a ghost story about a banshee, right?
Mm-hmm.
The twist would be that if it's from your own family or something like that, it doesn't scream at you.
If the
banshee's like a specific ghost,
yeah,
like maybe the banshee is like your relative telling you that your relatives are dying,
right? Yeah, exactly. So so you take that movie, you gotta play with that idea, you know, put on the storyboard.
The Lady in Red, A24.
Yeah, we could pitch that. $1 million is all we would need: a farmhouse and a cast of unknowns.
Honestly, though, the Lady in Red, it's got to be like, if it's A24, there's got to be like a little bit more, like
there's gonna be some paranormal.
There's gonna be some edge to it. It's got to be like. The Red Lady. It's got to be like, right, you know, it's right, got to be right. Like, it's got to feel a little bit more and sinister.
And initially, she's just a woman that wears red, but the more we learn, the more we actually see the red, like, tripping down where it'd be tears, like, and being like, maybe the double
it.
Meaning.
Now you're doing it. Did you know they made a movie version of La Llorona?
Oh, did
you? Yeah, they did.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, let's get A24. Just listen to it. Like, yeah, hear us out. We could do this. I mean, I've never directed anything in my life, but I am a good dungeon master. So
that's like half the battle, thing, man. Right? I think. Yeah.
thank you all so much for the stories. This is delightful. We mined the Discord well this time around. It was nice to do. It's nice to see.
Come leave us one if you like this. I really like reading listener stories, and I would do it more if there was huge demand for it.
Oh, does yeah, absolutely.
Because really does, it, like, I don't know, like...
Like a palate cleanser. It's a nice
breath. As the official Alex of the show, right?
Like, how dare you?
There's something really in line with what I enjoy about this type of subject matter, hearing other people tell me their stories. Because then it doesn't... We're, like, really not trying to say, oh, this is true or this is false, really.
Right.
Right? No, obviously, Jesse's going to say it's false and you're going to say it's true, but that's not... It's neither here nor there. Yeah. It's just, like... cultural exchange. It's really fun. It's really exciting. And we talked about a story where is your grandpa being haunted? Was he being haunted by a banshee? Which is just badass.
Awesome. I love that story.
Incredible.
Leave us stories, but also if you've ever, just out of pure curiosity, like if you've ever had the misfortune of having a near-death experience, I would love to read more like first-hand accounts on that. I don't know how many of our listeners have ever come close to one.
A few in our Discord
have had them. So I would love to hear details.
What are the other things we don't get a lot of stories about? I would love, like, I don't need another like thing in the sky story for a while unless it's like extremely remarkable.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I can get enough of those just from Mathis. You know what I mean? Like, we're always talking about things in the sky. I would love a vampire story. I would love like a genuine vampire story. I would love a genuine werewolf story.
You got like a genuine, like, I don't know, fucking like skinwalker story or some shit like that.
Yeah, I want something a little bit out of the box. I would love a Men in Black story from like a listener, like a real government one.
Constantly, that I would say constantly in its relative, but a lot is the Not Deer story that sticks with people still to this day. To talk about how like that fucked up people hearing that story fucked them up.
Yeah, and I also do want to hear more if you are a listener, and I'm not saying you should take psychedelics,
but if you
have, Yeah. If you have, especially if something crazy has happened, I would love for there to be enough accounts that we can like see similarities between the trips. That would be really neat for me.
I've yet to have a trip myself where I actually see anything like truly bizarre other than like the Alice in Wonderland effect of things looking not the right size.
You just gave me actually a great idea. I've been working on, we're doing like kind of a fun, me and Mathis kind of like collabing on a big fun, not like corner fest, but like a big situation in a couple months that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I needed a couple more ideas for a couple of the weeks involved, and I think I just got a great one. So,
Okay.
Yeah. Just get hyped. The year we're like phase one is done. I know you guys have noticed that we're kind of like
solidifying
cleaning ourselves. House.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like get ready. We're going to announce some new merch like really soon.
Yeah. We got the final like marketing stuff today. So,
yeah. So like at the day, we might be already announced by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah. It might be live. It actually might be live.
Yeah. But at the very least, look next week because next week's episode is going to be kind of a fun one that I've been working on for a little bit. And yeah, I don't know. And it's just
a shout out too. Like the support on the new series have been amazing. Like the stuff for Heaven's Gate, the Jesse's like kind of one off story, Alex's last little series. The numbers have been like, thank you guys for listening. Like they're just better than they on average have been. Not that we do badly at all, but like they just have done really well. So thank you for just being there and listening.
Yeah, it really feels like the extra work that we're putting into the episodes is like being rewarded.
We've played like these are all not we're sitting here babbling behind the scenes stuff, but like, yeah, Heaven's Gate, for instance, and the other stuff have been like months of like prep as opposed to like maybe a month of prep. You know, it's like a lot more gears going in the background to make these things bigger than they are, but ideally still just as enjoyable. So,
I also wanted to bring one last piece of fan news for you guys before we leave because I thought this was kind of fun. It's the Vagina Island post. I was just,
Yeah, that was from a few days ago. We had an update on the Vagina Island.
Okay. Guy. Yeah. So this is a post that's called I'm the guy that visited Vagina Island, which is crazy. So I'm just going to read this. This is from 6 days ago as of this reading, which was the 24th. I'm the guy that visited Vagina Island. This is Rousedower 03. So I found this podcast episode 4 years ago, which was like 11 years after the Vagina Island experience.
Awesome.
I just listened to it again and spent the whole time laughing out loud. Teenagers do dumb shit. Still no real answers other than running into a park ranger at the state park at a party years ago who claimed to have found it and had it removed. I showed him pictures to prove that it was there long before. May the Vagina Island always be the most beautiful mystery.
It's awesome, dude. That's
so like, we brought the Vagina Island guy into the story.
Yeah, it's. I can't believe he found the show. That's fucking cool as hell. I love that.
And also I just wanted to bring up this next bit. Lucas95 asked him, legend, do you still carry around a wetsuit because it's humorous? And Rousedower said, I wish. The real story is worse. I had it because my friend worked at Goodwill and snatched a few and we were planning on wearing them to a dodgeball tournament because it was humorous.
You sound like a human
individual.
An extraordinarily human individual. Yeah.
So thank you, Rousedower, for coming out of the woodwork and showing me the reach of this fantastic show. That one now Vagina Island has come back to us and the license plate guy has come back to us.
Yeah, that's right. And I feel like maybe another one has been. We're just forgetting, but
those two were the ones that really felt those are like almost Bean Boy level,
like me, like,
or like the guy turning into math, like podcast stars.
Math man will always be around. Bean Boy, I'm surprised, like, was such a side little character that we created that really took on a life of its own.
They love that Bean Boy. I'm just surprised, like, how many people, like, made him.
I know.
Yeah.
Bean Boy, like, fan stuff.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you guys for listening. Yes. We're out of here.
Thank you for being our fans. We love you very much.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here without you. It's because of you. We get to do this. And thank you very much. We'll be back next week with another episode here with, Jesse will be back by then? If he's not, well, I mean, we'll still be here either way.
No, next week's episode is an Alex episode.
Yeah, we're back to the schedule. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Hey, thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. We love you.
Goodbye.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the... I don't know who they are. There's two.
What?
Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
No.
Neo and Trinity.
No. I don't understand, and I probably never will. Let me just tell you right now that there's two Leon Kennedy and Claire Redfield.
I'm telling you, I think he literally just looked up famous duos.
Cheech and Chong.
And has been going through the list ever since.
I'm trying to dig deep. Which one of you is Dick Powell?
Me?
Your name's Jesse Cox.
I want to Illuminati. I want my mindless. I want to Illuminati. I want my mindless.
Everybody, welcome back to the Chilluminati podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by Alex and Jesse. Like a shooting star across the sky that's actually a UFO.